everyone. Welcome to Tourism Media Mayhem, the podcast attempting to slay the dragon that is media buying for tourism destinations. I'm Sasha Jackson.
And I'm Josh Shear.
Welcome. So today we are going to talk about how to build a media mix that fits your needs as a destination. So with that, we'll talk about how to establish and set goals. Josh, why don't you actually take that away? How do you set goals for your destination?
Well, I don't have a destination, but I've got lots of destination clients.
Good time to introduce our destination, Texaho, a perfect mix of Texas, where Josh is from, and Idaho, where I am from. Let's use Texaho as an example.
Texaho's great. So, you know, when I'm talking to our destination clients, my destinations as
in Texaho.
Well, my destinations and Texaho in general.
Okay.
I got to think about, you know, what do we really want out of our marketing? What's the freaking point? Right? Mm-hmm. Who cares if Texaho buys an ad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you care, Sasha?
I mean, I might if I'm the audience.
Are you?
Who's our audience for Texaho?
Well, that's a great question. So, yeah, you got to think about, why would someone want to hear from you? And then, mm-hmm. and then really, what you want them to do. So, I mean, when it comes to destination marketing in general, I'm gesticulating like a madman over here. You can't see it, but it's happening.
It's chaos.
Sorry. Mayhem. Would you say it's mayhem? Yeah. Okay. So I got to figure out what do I really want, or what is the problem I'm trying to solve? That's a good way to look at it. What's the problem? Does no one know that Texaho exists? You probably don't, because you just heard about it. Or maybe Texaho's got great brand awareness because it's got such a freaking awesome name that now we've got to do something to actually get people to come and stay and spend money. So before you come up with hey, I want to serve ads on, that Sasquatch show on Discovery Channel because it sounds cool.
Naturally.
Then you might want to find out if that's really, just because it sounds cool, because it is, doesn't mean that's the best place to buy your ads, right? Because it might not meet your goals or your audience, because maybe you're Magnolia Farms and they're not watching Sasquatch shows.
Yeah, maybe. And I think it's important to consider what your board members might want to see. What are they hoping from your marketing? I think if you understand what they're hoping to see or achieve, it might help you to set up your tactics in a way that you can obtain that data or get that information to just better get buy-in across all parties. We know there are a lot of parties involved in decision-making when it comes to destinations, so I think that's important to take into consideration.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Sasha. I think something else you could consider, too, is, or you should consider, is if we're talking to destinations here and not individual attractions or hotels, what do your stakeholders need? What are they looking to you to provide and fulfill on, other than a pretty face on a Facebook ad, right?
Yep, exactly. One other thing to consider as we set goals is really, I think you really need to understand your target persona. And I think we'll talk a little bit about this more, but understanding who your ideal customer is, who is it that really would want to come to your destination, right? And I think talking to them from where they're at and where they're consuming media and not necessarily your personal preference. I think unless you're your exact target persona, which you probably aren't because you're hitting people most likely not in your exact destination. I think that's something we see a lot too. It just kind of come across. But what are your thoughts on that, Josh?
Yeah, I think that's very true. The hardest part about, we like to call it persona mapping, right? Figuring out how to find the right channel for mm-hmm. a persona is, in my mind, that's the easy part. I think mm-hmm. the hard part is finding the persona and figuring out who you should be reaching out to.
Yep.
That's probably a whole episode in and of itself. And I think it probably will be.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think being able to, going into your media planning, you need to have that lined up.
Yep.
Sasha, let's just think out loud here for a second.
Okay.
Who's our Texaho persona?
Probably, let's see, and someone outdoorsy. I mean, Idaho offers a lot of outdoor activities.
I think they're outdoorsy, but they really like NASCAR.
Okay,
so we got the hipster NASCAR fans.
32 years old. No, I have no idea on age. How old are NASCAR fans?
These are 32-year-old NASCAR fans.
Okay.
I don't either.
Families, since that's everyone's target.
Families. Families are always valuable because, you know, the more people that show up, the more money they're going to spend. So give me some families.
That's true. Very, very true.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
All right. So we're going with NASCAR hipsters and families?
Is that what we're doing? I mean, most destinations have more than one persona, right?
So is that two?
Do we have to know about NASCAR, though? Because I don't.
No, we don't.
Okay. Segueing to one other important thing to consider is seasonality, and I think your persona changes based on seasonality. A lot of our destinations have a little change there, a little bit of shift in persona. So maybe families come in the summer, but maybe our, you know, hippie NASCAR person, what was it? Indie hippie? I can't remember.
Hipster NASCAR fan.
Our hipster NASCAR fan. Maybe they like to come in the fall when families, you know, kids are in school and there are less crowds, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Seasonality, it's important.
You might even say that sometimes seasonality could dictate what type of marketing you're doing and when.
That's right. Let's get into the meat and potatoes of our episode today. Meat and potatoes. I'm from Idaho. It's a really nice analogy. Makes me hungry.
Is it like a filet?
No, just meat and potatoes, like a roast.
What kind of meat? A roast?
Yeah, sure. Why you look like it's gross?
I mean, it's not gross. Just give me some barbecue.
Meat and potatoes, however you like it. Okay? However they do it in Texaco.
I'm going to say brisket and potato salad.
Okay, not what I would have went with, but it'll work. We'll roll with it. Okay, your first goal. What if your goal is awareness? What if you need more people to understand where you are, who you are, and be interested in coming to see you? Josh, what tactics would you recommend for awareness? Of course, in the digital realm.
I was going to say,
and then
definitely
I'll talk about traditional tactics.
I mean, we don't need to talk about traditional because, you know, everybody's on the internet.
You chose the wrong
everyone.
One. This is awareness.
But I mean, I could do awareness on display. I could do awareness on YouTube and all the places. Awareness is everywhere. No, but seriously though, I think, you know, when this is where truly the rubber meets the road, where Sasha and I, and we're working on like client proposals, when it comes to awareness tactics, we're always fighting over that budget.
We
like,
are.
Always.
And I win most of the time. Let's just let the record show.
Well, yeah, because you can't do bottom of the funnel stuff.
I mean, we can. We can.
Oh.
Some scenario, some tactics.
Challenge can. Accepted.
Challenge All accepted. Right. Okay. Another episode.
So anyway, when it comes to like thinking about awareness tactics, obviously, all of this, you'll have to take into account your budget. We haven't even talked about budget, Sasha, but understanding your, budget. Sasha,
budget,
money. That's so important when it comes to building your media plan.
Who cares about money? No, just kidding.
You just talked about stealing all my budget. You care about money.
I care about money. Okay.
So let's talk about budget for a second. And then just because I'm segueing now, but we'll come back to your awareness question. But like when we're talking about budget, that has to be almost equal to your goal. You need to have both dialed in before you start building a media plan.
Yes.
Because those ads on the Sasquatch show are going to be so expensive compared to boosting a Facebook post. So you got to think realistically here when it comes to your budget. And there are some tactics that will fit better into other budgets. So,
you bet.
I mean, every media plan's got to be custom. Like, we're going to be diving into, I'm sure we'll come up with some fun case studies for Texaco here in a bit. But
yeah, we're talking very general today.
Yeah, but I think the hardest part when you and I sit down and we're starting to plan a media buy is how much money to put where, especially when we work a lot with small to mid-sized destinations. And it's not like we've got $10 million to go buy a Super Bowl ad, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, got to keep that in mind. When it comes to awareness now, getting back to that, I think where I tend to see, especially if you're on a budget, I like to do awareness tactics on social. Facebook, especially if you're going for a 45-plus audience, is really active. It's cheap for the most part if your targeting's wide enough, if you're not diving in too much on individual interest groups. And tag teaming that on Pinterest or Instagram with younger audiences is great on a budget. I think that's a great place to start because it can, especially on social, it can serve kind of a multi-purpose tool. If you build the ad right, it can both raise awareness for Texo, explain why these NASCAR hipsters need to show up. Mm-hmm. But then also give them a call to action that they can act on, and then you can take and use deeper in the marketing funnel, like an email capture of some sort. So
yep.
I love going straight to social for awareness.
Yeah, you brought up an interesting point. When your budget is small enough, sometimes we can't squeeze a lot of traditional tactics in. So they are just generally more expensive, and we want to be careful with traditional media to not be spread too thin. So that is my one cautionary tell for a lot of destinations. Just don't spread yourself too thin when you're trying to gain awareness through traditional media tactics, because it does take some frequency for people to be able to actually take action off of a traditional media ad. So you do want to be seen multiple times. So I agree with you. I think in some cases, looking at digital, if you have a really small budget, can be really effective if you just can't spend in certain big markets, you know, across traditional media. But there are some flexible traditional media tactics like streaming radio, Spotify especially, no minimum spends, really awesome, hard to find across traditional media. So sometimes you can have, you know, some of those traditional tactics online on streaming platforms or OTT, and some of those can be really cost-effective awareness tactics.
So I have a question. Because this is something, because I'll admit I'm not an expert in traditional media.
What's that again for the people
in
the back?
I'm not an expert. It's because I believe digital's better. But I do see places where like it does make sense to buy a billboard, or it does make sense for the specific audience that you're going after to do some local radio, or in the even rarer case, in my opinion, would be a print buy somewhere. How do you, when you're planning those traditional media buys, how do you decide what's an appropriate like flight length or what? Because I think you're totally right. You need to have a certain frequency, and that's true for digital too, in order to like raise the proper awareness.
Yeah, and I think sometimes you obtain it quicker on digital. You might obtain the frequency a little bit faster across digital tactics. So traditional media, I usually recommend a little bit of a longer flight, just making sure we hit that audience, I don't know, roughly 3 to 4 times, right? I'm just throwing that out there. But I think it just really depends on what tactic we're talking about, and a lot on the market as well. Like some markets, outdoor may not be your top choice for widespread awareness. In a lot of markets, it might be, right? Just for the impact and the amount of eyeballs that are seeing it. But I don't know if this is a good enough answer, but it just really depends, I think, on what you're going for and kind of what market you're hitting. But I usually do try to look at, you know, frequency, kind of getting your cost per thousand down a little bit, just making sure people are seeing you enough. And it helps if you have multiple tactics in play, right? I think it depends if you're just doing one traditional media tactic, or are you doing traditional, you know, 3 or 4 tactics plus digital. I think you might be able to do be a little more sparing if you have more running at one time.
That's a good point, because you can... you know, when I'm thinking about a really good awareness campaign, I like to use the word omnipresent. Mm-hmm. Like, especially if it's a small target audience, you want to feel like you're everywhere.
Yep.
Ideally. I mean, budget might not allow it, but ideally somebody would see you on a website via display ads, but then they'd also see Texaho on a billboard. We haven't talked about where Texaho is located.
Segue. You're talking about touch points. The book by our CEO, Adam Soker. Good segue. Multiple touch points before you convert to a customer.
Shameless product marketing.
Shameless plug.
So, Sasha, just side note real quick.
Yes.
Where's Texaho located? I kind of, in my head, it's in the middle of the Pacific, like basically replacing Hawaii.
Okay.
But it's got like mountains
okay,
and
okay,
really
okay.
good Tex-Mex.
Okay, I dig it. I can get down with it. I dig it. So we're like an island, almost, kind of. Are we an island?
A massive island.
Okay, I love it. I love it.
Basically like Australia.
Australia.
Like a really big
but cooler. No diss on Australia, but we love
wait. Sasha, before we move on to the next goal, because I know we've got a lot to talk about. I mean, I know I talked about social for awareness, but there's so much you can do on digital when it comes to awareness building. And I think it, again, it always comes down to your audience. I feel like I have to give it a little more time. I'm sorry. But what I'm thinking about here is there's also a reason to buy on YouTube. I know I've been watching more YouTube videos over the last year and a half than I probably ever have. And I imagine a lot of other people are. I mean, YouTube is basically its own TV channel now.
Yeah.
But I think that's a great place to raise awareness, especially with really involved audiences, like fly fishers, for example. There's like a million influencers who are fly fishers on there. If you want to target their channels for your ads because Texaco's got some great fishing, like that's what we should do. And really, if you're running on cheap CPMs for a wider audience, it's really great for a volume play on digital. And then you also, if you build your video correctly, then you can get some free brand awareness in like those first 15 seconds before people hit the skip button. You don't get charged for those impressions. Free eyeballs, which is always good.
Do the ads you see on YouTube, are they targeted to you? Are they ads you're interested in? Have you bought something off a YouTube ad?
That's a good question.
Let's hear it, Josh.
I don't know.
Let's get down to the nitty gritty.
Full disclosure, I'm not sure I have.
Okay, we're talking about awareness, so it's okay. Yeah. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah. It could be that I saw one, and then it led me down a path of discovery to buying something.
As most awareness tactics do.
A lot of my time on YouTube is dreaming. Like, I like cars, and so I'm like, I watch a lot of car stuff, and then I can't afford to buy. Adam, pay me more. I can't afford to buy all the things I want for my car.
Fair enough. Okay, wait, let's talk about the traditional media tactics for awareness, because I touched on it if you have a small budget, but if you have a medium to large budget, let's talk about what tactics might work on traditional media, because
if we must.
This is our traditional media bread and butter, awareness, branding, right? That's when you employ those big tactics on traditional media. So outdoor, already mentioned it, great tactic, can be really flexible with digital billboards. Also static billboards, lots of cool things. Extensions with creative, you can do really cool things. Back-to-back messaging, lots of fun stuff. TV, radio, the old dinosaurs, they're around because they work still. And they're great branding awareness tactics. They tell your story visually and they obtain, you know, you can still get a little specific with audiences. They've got streaming options. They've got digital options, Josh.
I'm not saying anything. I mean, like, I know Texaco's got like a Bigfoot like presence. So those Sasquatch TV shows are very important.
They are. Let's talk about a tactic that's very important for our destination marketing listeners, and that is OTAs, online travel agencies.
Yeah.
I think that those can be a fantastic awareness tactic for a lot of destinations. They can also drive, you know, heads and beds. I think they kind of like awareness and direct sell, depending on what your campaign is or how it's set up. But yeah, a really important tactic to talk about.
Totally. Boy, you just went from like top of the funnel to the bottom of the funnel.
And, like, but they can also be awareness, kind of depending on what platform you're on. But
that's true.
Yeah. Lots of planning, dreaming. During COVID, OTAs were still used for planning, dreaming. People, you know, they spiked. People were just dreaming about going somewhere, anywhere. So, you know, they're planning and kind of saving stuff.
How much would it cost to get me to Texaco? That kind of thing. It's really true. It can be more of an awareness platform. And I don't tend to think of it that way.
Yeah.
So thank you for opening my mind.
You're welcome. Should we move on to another goal?
Sure.
One that you're going to like.
Ooh, let's do it.
Heads and beds, direct response, okay, go.
Boom. All about that lead generation. So I think I touched on it in episode one briefly, but my marketing experience before I came to Relic and dove into tourism was primarily in lead generation and like finding customers for B2B and B2C clients. And it's so much fun and it's so rewarding because you can really like draw like a straight line between your ad and a customer. And wow, that's just great. And it was so hard when I moved over here to think about like, how do I prove that these ads are working? So I mean, there is a lot we can do to measure that, like looking at lodging tax revenue and sales tax revenue and visa view reports. If you're not buying those, you absolutely should, to measure like increases and changes over time based on where you're buying your media. Like, that's really important and you should be doing that. But ideally, when our goal is truly heads in beds, we want our ads to have the conversion metrics that are as close to that as possible. So a lot of our DMO clients don't always have really strong, they just literally don't have access to that data. All of the business is going to their partners, their stakeholders. So we might focus on lead generation in the form of email captures for newsletters or travel guides. That's the word I was looking for. And then you can use that to nurture them even further. But then when you have the budget, there are tools out there that allow you to put a booking engine on your site.
Like what? What tools?
Like, there's a great one based here in Salt Lake called RootRez. High five to those guys. They've got a really cool booking engine that is intended for destinations. It's not built for individual hotels or attractions. It's meant for destinations. So it plugs into everything you would need it to. And they work with a number of different revenue models, so you can focus on different types of how you pay for it. Either they take a cut or the destination pays, or I don't know. Ask them. They'll help you figure that out.
We'll have to get them on the podcast.
Yeah, we should. That's a good idea.
Yeah, let's get them on the podcast.
But when we can, we should have like a hard conversion action for our ads. So in that case, we can drive ads to very even more specific audiences than we had at the awareness stage, where we're serving calls to action that are literally like book now, and then we could track if people actually book.
Yep, I could argue, if we're going to get into even like attribution models, that a portion of the leads generated from digital come from awareness from traditional media tactics, kind of depending on what model that you believe in.
Prove it.
Let's get some case studies.
I guess it's true. I mean, I know we've seen it, and I know that even for some of our clients that are very specifically lead gen oriented, we do see a boost online when we're buying billboards. Like, yep. It's just a fact.
Yeah, we need to build that traditional media dashboard. Real-time reporting on traditional media, something cool. Maybe in 6 months, we'll circle back. But one thing I was thinking about while we were talking about this for traditional media, I think it's very important when we're talking about lead gen and kind of direct response when it comes to traditional media tactics is your call to action. So what call to action are you using on your traditional media? We do have some good case studies about, you know, some strong call to actions to drive to the website have led to, you know, brochure downloads like Josh was talking about. And you can get creative with tracking traditional media, you know, like comparing year-over-year lift on Google Analytics and a lot of cool stuff like that. But I think your call to action, if you're looking for a direct response campaign, should be a little bit stronger, right, across traditional media. And there are certain tactics you can kind of check, you know, click through data and you know, even footfall traffic with some really cool. Some OTT partners can track footfall traffic, which is really neat. Those who see your ad and cross over into your destination. So traditional is getting more sophisticated, but it is a little bit of a sore point when it comes to direct response.
Sure. And some might argue some of those traditional tactics are technically digital tactics.
Yeah, that's true. We fight over
but
them.
We won't argue that here. So Sasha, let's get specific for a second. So we've got Texahoo here. We want to drive specifically heads in beds. We've installed RootRez on Texahoe's website so we can set up the tracking the way we need it to be. You've got a mid-sized budget, not a ton of money, not a small amount of money. What are you going to buy to help drive heads in beds?
Good question. I want to know what market I'm buying in. Where are the NASCAR hippies coming from?
NASCAR hippies are coming from upstate New York.
New York. Okay.
Why? Because it makes no sense. That's why.
With a mid-sized budget, you can do nothing in New York. No, just kidding.
Upstate New York.
Just kidding.
Like, How do they say that? Okay. Rooster? New York. Rochester? I don't know. I'm making words up now.
Great question for lead gen. I think we'd try to tie into where you're, you know, kind of running, get some nice marriages going.
So you're just going to copy me?
I mean.
Yeah.
But do it my own way.
So should I tell you what I would do first?
No.
Oh.
I think should do, for New York, I probably wouldn't look at like AM/FM radio. I'd probably do some streaming radio that I could get more targeted with. I would like to choose tactics for lead gen that I'm a little bit more specific with. You're still getting widespread awareness, but you're targeting in as much as you can, right? So you kind of know you're hitting the person who wants to convert to a sell. So I'd probably do some streaming tactics like streaming radio and maybe some OTT. Maybe outdoor, probably not because it just gets so expensive in New York.
Yeah.
Really crazy. Really crazy. That require a large budget.
I think if I were to build a lower funnel focused digital media plan for Texaho in upstate New York, I'd probably, my gut would be initially to say, let's do some retargeting because you know that people who are from this area have been to your site and are looking at it. But gosh, Apple and Facebook are making that so much harder these days. So, I mean, maybe for the next 6 months I'll mess with that, but it's going to become less and less worth it over time. So I'm going to have to rely more and more on contextual-based targeting. So I'd probably find some layering where people are interested both in traveling and NASCAR and beer and waxed mustaches and layer all that targeting because, you know, Facebook's that detailed. Yep. I can do that and serve ads to those people, get them to engage, give us their email address, and then collect that first party data. First party data is going to be so important moving forward. Collect as much as you can and then serve them with a series of email nurtures that gets them more and more engaged over time and really drive home that book now message, especially once I know with my first party data that they've engaged. That's going to be super important. And then, the one caveat to the remarketing, like, black hole that we're about to enter as marketers is we can take that email list that we've collected and upload that to the social platforms that we're most interested in, or even some display DSPs would do it. We could do lookalikes. That would be more awareness, though. I'd want to take these email addresses and serve them like really strong calls to action. Like maybe we've got a sweet deal going on, and people who want to visit Texaho get $100 gift card if they sign up through our booking engine.
Yeah. And if we're starting from scratch with the budget and with the tactics and we've never advertised in New York, I would want to wait and see what performed across your digital tactics and then target those certain interest-based things across the traditional tactics that we're doing. Anywhere that we have so much spend on traditional, we like to have a lot of data to back it up, right? With who we're targeting. And once we kind of have that first party data, then I think we could use that and have a more targeted buy.
Yeah.
A/B test too.
That's a good point. Ooh. But part of the whole media planning process should also include a deep dive into any research that you have at your fingertips. So
very important.
And this kind of goes along with what we were talking about with personas, but if you've got a place where maybe...
What's that, Josh?
Maybe you have...
Josh, what are you trying to say?
Surveys. if you have survey data from past research projects, you should use it.
If you don't have data, get it. If you do have data, use it.
That's so much more concise. Perfect.
Well, Josh, let's wrap things up. Closing statement.
Digital wins.
Digital win. I saw that coming. I set myself up for that. Now, this is something we could deep dive a lot deep. There are so many more goals that we didn't touch on. So many more goals. You might be trying to break into a new market. You might be trying to redirect traffic to a certain attraction within your destination. So many things that I don't think we have time to touch on today.
Just hit us with your list real quick, because I know you've got a list.
Yeah, Some destinations have a goal. I know right now, not as much, but convention sales. I mean, that's a big aspect of destination marketing that we haven't even touched on today. But convention sales, even events. Some destinations have awesome events. Not all, but some. Sometimes you want to just get more attendance for your events, or, you know, drive awareness for those events. Any more that I missed?
I think the one other thing I would add is you could potentially have a goal of weekenders or increasing local economic growth.
Length of stay.
Length of
stay.
Or
spend per visit.
That's a great one.
Spend per visit. We've seen that, yeah.
Or increasing local engagement within the destination.
Yeah, and I think...
Traveling
like a local. And that's right. And sustainably, you know, leave it in a better place. I think that it's really important to know what your goal is. All of these goals are great. Just honing in on what your goal is will drive the right media mix for your marketing. So we want to talk about goals early on. They're really important. I think we'll touch on this a lot throughout our podcast.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Josh, tell us about the next episode.
To be determined. No, you've listened to us now for a good long time after a couple episodes. So we are going to bring in a guest to talk about some cool new tech, especially on the digital side. And Sasha will just have to sit there and listen for a minute.
Oh, don't worry. We'll have traditional media guests as well later. We'll do guest speakers every other time to time, however often.
Whatever. Whatever we feel like it.
And on that note, we'll catch you guys next time.
Peace out.